All right, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are chatting with Mike Larson, editor-in-chief at The Money Show. Now, Mike, throughout this show, we jumped around from market to market, which we probably will touch on some of the markets with you. But I want to take a step back, talk more big picture economy, and tie that back into the markets. Because quite frankly, look, we've been reading about this whole recession ever since last year. And there are some reports that say a big recession is coming. We've also had guests, and this comment resonates a bit more with me, that are saying we are already in a recession. It's just, at least right now, a bit of a mild recession. The argument can be made we're 6 months into a recession, and most recessions, now this can vary, can last anywhere from a year, well, let's say right around a year to a year and a half. So that means we're arguably halfway through this recession, and it is no doubt a bit more mild if we truly are in a recession. What's your thought on the whole comment of if we are in a recession, just looking at some of the data, and how this plays out if we are in one, or if one's coming, in terms of progress? Does the recession get worse? Are we hit with a shock? Or quite frankly, are we just in a mild recession that could last maybe a little bit longer?
Sure. I think we got a couple of different, bogeys to consider, or past comparisons that this kind of reminds me of. I mean, on the interest rate side, the Fed aggressiveness, the, you know, reaction to inflation and so on. I mean, this is a Fed that's been on the warpath like the late 1970s, early 1980s. And that's leading to what's likely a pretty deep recession that we're already in for sectors like housing and other things that are kind of uniquely tied or distinctly tied directly to what's going on in interest rates. So, I mean, I think, you know, are we in recession kind of depends on which sector you're talking about. Housing, I would absolutely put in that category, and it's a pretty deep one, in my opinion, or will be when all is said and done. You look at tech then, for example. Tech, to me, is the tech sector is very much in this kind of dot-com bust style recession that we're probably two-thirds of the way through here. I mean, you and I, we've all talked about just the evisceration of a lot of these money-losing tech companies, all these IPOs that flamed out. You know, those have all crashed and burned. You know, those companies are firing workers in droves. But now it's infecting the tech food chain. I mean, you look at Microsoft and Amazon, you know, right now, headlines in the news, they're looking to cut 28,000 jobs, lay off 28,000 people combined. You have other tech companies, larger tech companies, that are saying the same thing. Salesforce recently did, and you know, their Salesforce is kind of like the blue chip in the tech space, obviously the biggest tower in San Francisco and so on. So you're seeing in the tech space, you know, a pretty severe unfolding recession as well. For the broader economy, you go back to what happened with the tech sector. You know, the dot-com bust was very painful for the NASDAQ. It was very painful for the tech sector. But for the overall economy, it was, it was a mild recession. You know, at the time, it didn't feel like that. But in comparison to what we had in the Great Financial Crisis, in comparison to what we had very short and sharp in the case of COVID, probably not one of the worst recessions we've ever seen. Certainly not as severe as even what we saw in the early 1980s in the double dip recession scenario. So to me, it's more of like a sector. What's already in recession? What looks like it's headed that way? And as far as the broad economy, I think we'll probably hit the technical definition of a recession. I mean, technically we already did, right? But I think we'll probably see it again. I believe we are going to see, I mean, you're starting to see in things like manufacturing and service sector reports weakening. That's forward-looking stuff. The labor market data, which is kind of backward-looking, is still solid, but you know, even there's maybe some signs of weakening. And then you look at things like retail spending, again, tied to optimism, tied to housing, tied to markets in some way. You know, all that is starting to lag. So again, I think it's a market or it's an economy that some sectors are in recession, some are headed that way. The overall economy probably is headed that way. But I don't, you know, unless we get some massive credit crisis, something out of the blue, you know, I don't think we're going to have the kind of full on, really, really deep, broad kind of great financial crisis type meltdown scenario that we had back in 07, 08, 09. From an investment standpoint, let's be honest. I mean, we had already a terrible year last year. I mean, the NASDAQ on a consistency basis lost value all four quarters. That hasn't happened since the dot-com bust. So, you know, you're talking about the worst year in 20 plus years for the NASDAQ. The S&P was down, give or take, what, 18, 19, 20%, which I think worked out to the seventh or eighth worst decline on an annual basis in modern times. Obviously, you didn't get any protection from your bonds. The Treasury market had its worst year in decades. So we've already seen in a market, from a market standpoint, a lot of pain. And again, like I said, that's the broad averages. When you look behind the averages at some of these subsectors in parts of parts of tech, for example, I mean, you're talking about declines that are as bad, if not in some cases worse than we saw in the dot-com bust. So a lot of pain has been spread throughout the markets, is I guess my message, which means I've been negative, cautious, defensive, pick your adjective for the last 18 months, pretty much, seeing a lot of this coming. I'm more constructive now and looking forward, especially in the back half of this year. I think bargain hunting is probably going to pay off because a lot of assets have already melted down. A lot of, value, reason, more reasonable valuations have already been restored in many, many sectors of the market.
Well, Mike, that's exactly what I was going to ask you about is this an area where you would start looking for the bargains? Because to your point, it's been a stew of negativity for really the last year or so, really starting in the late 2021 and carrying through last year. And we have seen the housing market, the manufacturing market, even retail sales weren't that great lately. The one thing that has been holding up the markets has been the belief that the labor markets have been strong, but even that is still showing cracks under the surface. If we thread the needle, as some people say, and we have a softer landing rather than an all-out crash scenario, do you think that the markets in general will recover nicely through the second half of the year once the Fed is done tinkering with the rate hikes and they go to that pause mode where they just wait and see what's going to happen? Is that going to be a all clear sign where most markets start to levitate a little bit more?
I think you probably are pretty spot on there. I mean, if I look at the, start with the Fed, obviously was on a rampage last year, very sharp, very quick hikes in interest rates, and we saw the impact in stocks. You saw the impact in long duration assets like treasuries. There really was no place to hide, with the exception, I might add, of gold, which didn't do great, but also outperformed stocks by about 20 percentage points, or 35 in the case of the Nasdaq. Looking at where we are now, the Fed is clearly dialing down its pace of rate hikes. They've already gone from 75 to 50 at the meeting that concludes on February 1st. They're probably going to downshift again to 25. That's what the rate mar futures market is almost locking in at this point. If you look at the pricing in the rate futures market over the next several meetings, there's still maybe one, possibly two more hikes that the market is kind of giving a decent probability to. But then the rate futures market is starting to look at a Fed that might be cutting rates by the end of the year. So in that environment, again, whether it's a pause, whether it's a mild pivot, unlike, not like the last huge pivot that we saw, but even a mild pivot, you're going to remove that governor on the market, that pressure of ever rising interest rates at an ever faster pace. It's just like what I've been saying when it comes to precious metals with the dollar. The rising US dollar was the big governor on the engine of precious metals all last year. Everybody notes that gold didn't do great, but by the end of the year, it was basically flat, which again beats stocks by 20 percentage points. And now, if you look at the last couple months of 2022 and early returns in this year, you can see that precious metals are doing very well. And that's because you've removed that governor. You removed that governor on the engine of a higher US dollar and an ever rising US dollar. So I think the outlook there in particular is pretty good. So now, broad averages probably going to struggle through the first quarter, maybe into the second. There's going to be chop. There's going to be bad news in the economic front. We're going to have to cope with recession headlines and so on. So that people aren't going to be running around buying the heck out of the markets, in my opinion. But I do think as you get further into the year, the Fed will be behind us. They'll at least move to the sidelines, possibly even starting to cut a little bit. You'll have, some of the more of these layoffs that'll be behind us. The job market data will look worse, but the forward-looking stuff will probably stop deteriorating. So when it gets to the third quarter, fourth quarter, and then next year, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic. And I'll add too, I think the time to start bargain hunting is probably already on us to some degree. I mean, you don't want to go hog wild, but when I was trying to think of how to help theme our Las Vegas money show that's at the end of April. It's April 24th to 26th, and we actually settled on a bargain hunter's paradise. Because I think to some degree, you've seen so many assets, you've seen so many sectors, you've seen so many, different things out there that you can invest in already get clobbered. you, me, none of us are good enough to peg the exact bottom and in everything, but I've seen enough carnage that I'm willing to start, you know, tiptoeing into the market again. And especially as we get into the spring and summer, I think you're going to want to be even more aggressive with that. So, you know, that, again, that's a different message and different approach. And, you know, you and I, we've been talking for a long time. I probably sound a lot different now than I did a year, year and a half ago.
That's very different, Mike. And maybe that means, well, it sounds like it means the worst is behind us. But again, still could be some tough sledding for a quarter or two. But again, who knows? How much, though, does China's reopening play into all of this? How much could China's reopening support markets, support commodities? It won't be smooth, as well, we all saw how reopenings went around the world, but it does seem like China is reopening. So how critical is that for this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be part of it, you know. I mean, obviously, China's got a whole host of its own issues, the ridiculous approach towards COVID, the real estate bubble unwind they're having there, you know, some of the more recent demographic news that China's been this great growth engine. And now I think I saw a headline that deaths are going to outpace births or something for the first time in decades there. So, you know, I don't think China is going to be the kind of engine that it was 20 years ago. But I do think that them reopening and them moving past COVID, you know, even if it comes in fits and starts, and unfortunately, with real human costs, ultimately from an economic standpoint, yeah, I mean, their demand picking back up is going to impact markets. It's going to impact commodity demand and things like that. So, you know, I think that's another reason that you can be a little more positive about many sectors that are, again, levered to economic growth later on in the year. And I would also add, I mean, even emerging markets, it's been sort of a lousy place to invest for so long, but by virtue of that, valuations are much more reasonable. Now you've got, you know, energy that's still holding in. You've got the U.S. dollar that's kind of looks like it's rolling over. I think if you're looking for something that's undervalued that really hasn't benefited from strength in other parts of the market, emerging markets are a nice place to look, especially with the extra impact you might get from, you know, from China's growth. So, yeah, I like that part of the market as well.
Well, Mike, let's also, you mentioned the commodities there. Let's dive in a little bit deeper, because it seems like there's a tug of war going on between the weaker dollar, but that also some expect to see bounce, which could pressure commodities, the China reopening theme, but also this recession theme playing out. If it's just weak growth, and we haven't seen growth that's busting down the doors by any stretch, if growth remains weak and muted, a lot of people said that's going to be bad for the commodities. But we also hear all these horror stories about the supply is just not there. How are you seeing the commodities overall, particularly the metals and maybe the energy space?
Again, I mean, I lean towards, within the commodity universe, I still very much lean towards and have for a while the precious over the base side when it comes to metals. I mean, you know, I think that as China unlocks its economy again and gets out of the COVID shutdown, it's going to help with commodities demand there. But I think if you're looking for more of a purer play on the kinds of economic forces that are out there right now, I think you're going to find it better in gold, silver, and miners more levered to that than other parts of the commodity complex. On the energy side, though, I still like energy. I've liked energy for a long time. I mean, you know, I don't think it's any accident that energy had wild outperformance last year. And I think a lot of the same dynamics, this, you know, underlying trends are still pretty favorable this year. So I don't think we're going to have, gosh, what was it, up 50% or something last year for something like the XLE, the broad energy sector ETF. But I think you could have a pretty solid double digit return, lower double digit return. If the factors that are out there now, the supply and demand picture continue. And also there's some nice dividend paying companies within that sector that also give you that yield cushion. I mean, there, you know, there's names like, you know, there's names in that sector, especially in the processing and transportation sector for gas and oil that, you know, pay out generous dividends, things like MLPs and so on, that are less volatile ways to get yield out of the sector as well. So still pretty positive there.
Now, Mike, being the editor-in-chief at The Money Show gives you a unique insight both into what investors are looking for, because you bring investors to your show, but then also on the company front, which companies are out there spending money, trying to get in front of the investors because you have the exhibitors. What have you seen? What are you hearing from both of these sides being at The Money Show?
At Money Show, I mean, I'm called upon to present my opinion of the markets from time to time. I certainly have them, and you know, that's what we've discussed here. But I also get the benefit of hearing from, you know, dozens, hundreds of the people that presented our shows, that contribute to our email newsletters, that I, you know, take part in panels with and so on, and see live and online. And frankly, there's there's still a lot of caution out there. I think people don't really, a lot of the experts I hear from and talk to, aren't wildly bullish on this market, but there is a pretty good appreciation for, recognition of, and desire to capitalize on a potential Fed pivot, a Fed that, excuse me, I shouldn't say pivot, a pause, because I don't think, the general consensus does not seem to be we're going to get anything like what Powell did last time, where it was, stop hiking, turn around, and immediately slash rates. But I think there does seem to be some expectation that the Fed's going to, take its foot off the brakes and move to the sidelines. They're just going to, pull up a nice Barca lounger, open a beer, and sit there and watch the market for a while to see what happens and see what happens with the economy. And in that environment, there is a perception that we're not going to suffer another year of the everything goes down market that we had in 2022. So I would call it, recognition that there's still risks, particularly on the economy, but somewhat, modest optimism that with the Fed out of the picture, you can be more constructive about bonds, and therefore you can be more constructive about stocks, particularly those that are interest rate sensitive. So, but again, it's a defensive optimism or a modest optimism. I don't really hear any, I haven't really heard from or spoken to anybody who's like, holy cow, this is the best environment for stocks forever. Get out there and, buy the heck out of this market. And there's, there's still a couple that are pretty negative, particularly on the economy. There are a few warning out there, a few voices out there that are warning that this recession could be pretty severe. So again, I don't particularly share that case, but that's what makes a market, right? So that's what I see. Companies are still out there raising capital. They're still interested in trying to find investors, drum up interest. But it's a different, I think again, there it's sort of a cautious, somewhat optimistic market, as opposed to, oh my gosh, everybody's out there trying to raise money at the same time, capital's cheap, blah blah blah, just like we saw back a couple of years ago when I could launch a SPAC with my grandma and then everything would be fine,
Well, Mike, that's an interesting point to make, just because in 2020 and 2021, it was so frothy and everything was about growth, not just the growth tech stocks, but just anything that involved growth. And it didn't really matter if there was sound fundamentals or revenues coming in ever. People were excited about it, whether it was cryptos or NFTs or meme stocks, you name it, the opening stocks, the grand opening, reopening, all of that was a surge in growth. And then really at the end of 2021, it shifted more to value and everything went towards, let's be safer. Let's get in utilities. Let's get in consumer staples. Let's get in the precious metals. Let's get in energy. Do you foresee things, because you said cautious optimism, do you foresee things shifting from value back to growth as the year unfolds?
I still think there's going to be a pretty significant tilt towards value. I think there's an acknowledgement, again, from among the people I talk to, there's acknowledgement that those kinds of sectors have gotten a little frothier. I mean, valuations in utilities, for example, are, way at the upper end of historical ranges. At the same time, things like valuations in small caps look great. They're, the small caps have gotten hammered. There's, valuations for something like the S&P 600 small cap index is, plumbing depths we haven't seen since the great financial crisis. It's only a little bit of a recovery off the lows. So I think there, it's a mix. There's, yes, we still like value, but, I'm kind of with you, Mike. I think especially if we get further deterioration early in the year, it might be time to start bargain hunting, bottom fishing, whatever kind of metaphor you want to use there, in the really beaten up stuff, which is tech, which is some of the economically sensitive sectors and so on.
Very interesting, Mike. Great chatting with you. As always, thanks for sharing some of the insights within the Money Show that you're seeing, as well as this big picture concept of a recession. And look, we're always going to hear the extremes on both sides of the argument, but I think a little bit more of a balanced approach is good, especially when, and I believe, we're in kind of the middle of at least mild recession right now. Mike, thank you as always for your time. Everybody, thank you for tuning into this weekend show. We had a lot more company updates this week. A lot more companies are getting active in the new year, so be sure to go back through our website and podcast and listen to especially those company updates. Everyone, Mike included, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Great talking to you. Take care.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.